important as it is to have a lamp in the darkness to see where your feet step, to light the path that you take, it's even more important to allow the Word of God to show you where your spiritual feet are stepping and to light the righteous path that leads to and with Jesus Christ. That's the Word. Learn it, live it, and love it. So Psalm 119, and I'm not going to go verse by verse. I'm going to take you through portions of Psalm 119. Again, the three main points are learn the Word, to learn the Word of God, to live the Word of God, and to love the Word of God. And there's a reason why I put them in that order. Psalm 119:12 in your Bibles. Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. Like I said earlier here and throughout Scripture, not just in Psalm 119, the teacher is God. He is the one that's teaching you. When you sit down to read the Word of God, you know that God Himself is teaching you. Take that into account. Don't just read it as some book that someone wrote, but know that you are sitting with the very creator of this universe. And He is teaching you about His Son, Jesus Christ. He's teaching you about Him. You are the pupil. He is the teacher, and the subject is Jesus Christ. At a glance, this psalm has over 20 references to learning or being taught by God. Let me give you some statistics about learning. Some not so good statistics. Disappointing. 58% of the U.S. adult population never reads another book after high school. 58%. 42% of college graduates never read another book after graduation. 80% of U.S. families did not buy or read a book last year. 70% of U.S. adults have not been in a bookstore in the last 5 years. And 57% of new books are not read to completion. So you pick one up, it's not read to completion, it's new to you, right? So I think new or old, whatever book you begin, 57% will never be completed. So learning isn't a popular topic. That's my whole point. Learning just isn't. It's not natural for us to go, oh, I am going to learn the Bible from cover to cover. It's just not natural for us to do that. But as you get to know the author of the Bible, as you see His promises come alive in your life, your faith increases, your interest in the Word increases, and you grow passionate about the Word of God. That's why I'm telling you, it's in progression. Learn, live, and love. Psalm 119:7, learn to praise. I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous rules. This is a response of thanksgiving. When I learn your righteous rules, I will apply them to my life, and I will live them out. That is my response to you, God. This is how I will live for you, Christ, who died for me. When I learn of your righteous rules, of what you have laid out, I will completely surrender my life to you, no matter what. Psalm 119:24, learn to be counseled. Psalm, it says here, your testimonies are my delight, they are my counselors. It's just kind of odd to say that you delight in testimonies, right? But what is a testimony? God's testimonies are His testimonies against sin and for truth. Those are His testimonies. So when you read and you read that word testimonies, God's testimonies, He's saying, listen, I testify against sin in my word. Oh, I love that. Why? Because you're a loving Father and you're warning me of these things, right? God, I also testify for truth. And you speak to me your truth so I may walk in your truth. Because you're a loving Father. Learn to be counseled by God. Take in His counsel and apply it to your life. Learn to change direction. This is very difficult, right? 119, 26 and 59. 26 says, when I told of my ways. Who was this psalmist telling of his ways? The Lord. You answered me. Teach me your statutes. And in verse 59, he says, when I think on my ways, I turn my feet to your testimonies. There is a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way to death, Proverbs 14:12. Sometimes we think that our ways are the right way until we come across Scripture and God tells us otherwise, right? We need to be ready and flexible at that time to confess and say, you're right, I'm wrong, God. I repent. I'm going to turn from that immediately. And I'm going to walk along the path of truth. Because you testify of truth, that is your way. And I'll walk that way with you. We need to learn to change direction. We need to learn to do away with false ways. Psalm 119:29. Put false ways far from me and graciously teach me your law. The psalmist knew that it is only by God's grace that he is, well, just long-suffering with us. He is patient with us. So as God takes the false ways from us and he exposes them to us and he puts them away from us, it's going to be a constant process until the day we go home to be with him, right? And so we ask him, be gracious with us. Please be patient with us as we put away those false things from us, as we are consecrated, as we are continually sanctified by you, cleansed of our ways, and more are molded into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, please be gracious with us. Be patient. Learn to make good judgments. Psalm 119:66. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe in your commandments. I believe. There's that word again. Remember the proposition. Okay? Learn to make good judgments. Discernment. Holy Spirit and the Word of God. In your spirit, your conscience is one that'll make you aware of the word that's written on your heart, okay? You'll know something's wrong, something's not right, but if you don't know the word of God, you're still a baby as a Christian, and you'll be directed in any path anyone wants to take you, including a pastor, including an elder, including someone that's been walking with the Lord for a long time but just doesn't have things right. You individually need to know the Word of God. Okay? Have discernment. Make good judgments according to the Word of God. Learn through troubled times. Verse 71 says, it is good for me that I was afflicted. Can we all say that aloud? It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. The problem with people is that we take our problems a lot more seriously than God does. You understand what I'm saying? The psalmist, that's like, ouch, right? When I heard that, I thought, it's like that dog whistle, right? Really? Because, listen, the psalmist, King David, he says, you know that my enemies are against me. You know that I'm oppressed. You know what is going on in my life. Yet I honor you. I glorify you. Give me strength that you would be honored, that you would be glorified. God does not take our problems so seriously as he does us. If you want to get through some of these issues that you're going through, then make sure that you get your alignment right with God And he may or may not get you through, but it's not your problem that he's taken so seriously. It's you he takes seriously. Learn through troubled times. Okay, next major point is live. Psalm 119, 1 through 3. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in his ways. Walk, life, living. How do we do that to God's glory? Well, live in purity. Psalm 119 verse 9 says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. Everything comes back to God's word. Take out young man. How can a person keep his way pure? Because it doesn't just apply to a young man, right? Young, middle-aged, old, midlife crisis, it doesn't matter. How is it that a man can keep his way pure, a person? Well, it's by guarding it according to God's word. Hebrews came to mind. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Be holy, God says, for I am holy. Men, ladies, do we guard our eyes? Do we guard our ears? Are we aware of the places we enter into? Do you understand that you are a consecrated people set aside for God's purpose? Do you understand that if you go into a place that is that brings defilement, that it is not a place where you should be? Guard. Guard against the enemy. He comes in and he wants us to compromise just a little bit, so that at some point he can get a foothold. And at the next point, if you continue to compromise, to get a stronghold, and of such it is most difficult to get out of. Guard. Live in purity. Seek the word. Do the word in obedience. Live in single devotion. We talked about that a few weeks ago. My single devotion. You remember that title? And it was a message that was mostly geared towards singles, but generally it applies to all of us to live in single devotion to God. Psalm 119:10 says, with my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. Our heart, when the Bible talks about the heart, it's talking about the center of our spirit. Like the command center. This is where everything comes from. The center of our spirit, our soul, our mind, everything. This is where it comes from. So the psalmist says, with my whole heart, with my whole command center, this is where it's coming from. I seek you. I seek your knowledge. I'm in pursuit of what you know and of who you are. Let me not wander from your commandments. This is the psalmist's heart. This is King David's, the one that Robbie was talking about. This is a warrior, at the same time, a gentle and lowly man that was in pursuit of God. Live treasuring God's word. Psalm 119:11 says, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Above all else, Jesus. Above all else. I've stored your word in my heart. I've committed it to memory. I have come to a place to know your whole counsel the best way that I can, that you've given me understanding so that I could apply it to my life and bring you glory. I've stored up your word in my heart. Are you doing that? Are you storing God's word in your heart that for the single purpose of not offending the God that gave you eternal life? Live keeping God's word. Psalm 119:17. Deal bountifully with your servant that I may live and keep your word. Keep is an ongoing action. Keeping God's word is something that we need to strive for. We need to be deliberate. We need to be purposeful about it. We need to ask for forgiveness immediately when something's brought to our attention by the Holy Spirit. That is keeping God's word. I know that it says here in 119:3, who also do no wrong but walk in his ways. That's a person who is joyful. Listen, doing no wrong is getting to a point to where Jesus says, you're in the wrong, Robbie. You're in the wrong. You're in the wrong. Robbie, at that time, or anyone else for that matter, myself, at that time, to not continue doing wrong is we obey. You're right, God. I'm wrong. I want to keep your ways. And change directions. Remember, learn to change direction, right? So keep God's word. Live meditating on God's word. Psalm 119:23 says, even though princes sit plotting against me, your servant will meditate on your statutes. That is an awesome verse. Okay, we're talking about a king that he knew that other kingdoms, other leaders were plotting against him. And he says to God, your servant will meditate on your statutes. How many times do you deal with little issues? I'm talking about little in comparison to like other kings trying to like destroy your kingdom, right? And we're so, remember, you take your problems much more seriously than God does, right? So you're so consumed where it's like you're right here, you're massaging your problem and you're meditating on your problem and God, where are you? You know, my problem right here, it all needs to be taken care of. We're meditating on that. And all of a sudden we neglect the Word of God. We neglect to pray. We neglect to just sit and have fellowship with the Lord. Why? Because our problem, it's right here. It's right here. He says, I know, son. I know it's there. Just meditate on me. I know it's there. But I know where your heart is. Your heart's there too. And I tell you, son, get it out of the problem and get it focused on me. When you look up to me and you look back down, it won't be what you thought it was. Live singing God's word. Psalm 119:54. Your statutes have been my songs in the house of my sojourning. We are pilgrims. We're only here for a short period of time. I hope that you are committed and focused on fulfilling the whole course of your life, matching it up to God's plan and purpose for it. We are pilgrims. I'm only here for a short period of time. In light of eternity and in light of history as we know it, we are truly but a vapor. Okay? So, why not live singing in this pilgrimage? Singing is just an overflow of what's in our hearts. Out of the abundance of our heart, the mouth speaks. Right? In fact, there's words that define praise in the original language. It involves singing. It involves even body gestures. That's one. I give you all the praise. falling down on our faces. That's part of praise. Our voices, music, is all part of what praise is described in the original language. What we did here this morning to start out our time of worship was all praise. It's singing. We should be a joyful people singing. We have the hope that no one else does. We have the message of life. And we have the Spirit of God, which is the seal for the day of redemption, dwelling within us. Are you not joyful? You should be. Love is the last major point. Psalm 19, and you don't have to turn there in your Bible. But Psalm 19 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward." And in verse 14, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." Love. Delight in the word. Did that sound like King David just delighted in God's word? Every single word. He delights in his word. Psalm 119:16, "I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word." I delight. I am so filled when I come across your statutes, Lord. When I come across your word, your law, your precepts, your commandments, I am delighted. My spirit is set ablaze. Long for the word. Psalm 119:20 and 40. "My soul is consumed with the longing for your rules at all times." And verse 40 says, "Behold, I long for your precepts. In your righteousness, give me life." How many of you have been consumed with something? Well, let me ask you this. How many of you are married? Okay. So you've been consumed, right? I know we are made in the image of God, right? So consumed for Him, He knows very well what that means. We are made to be consumed with Jesus. If you're trying to fill your life with other things, doesn't matter what it is. It could be anything. I ask you to just get on your knees and ask God to reveal to you what that is. If there's anything that's taking a portion of that consumption, it means you're not consumed entirely by the one who created you. Okay? He desires that place in your heart. In fact, he commands it of his followers. Be consumed with me. I will give you life and I will give it to you more abundantly here on earth. Just be consumed with me. Long for me. Be consumed. Let everything you do, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to my glory. Have you ever eaten to God's glory? Have you ever drank to God's glory? Taking a sip? You know what it is? It's being thankful for everything, understanding that God provides everything for you. When you sit down to eat, that you're thankful for that food. You don't take it for granted. We say our little prayer and ask God to bless our food. Well, the food itself is fine. It depends on the cook, right? What we're praying for is, Lord, bless this food to our bodies, but we are so thankful that you've given us this food. Oh, but I worked hard for it. I worked 40 hours last week, and this week I've worked 80, and next week I'll probably work 60. So I put that food on my table. No. God gave you the very strength and the ability to go work so that you could provide that food. So you are simply a vessel for God to provide that for you. Are you thankful for that? This little plate right here. Are you thankful for that? This bottled water. Are you even thankful for that? As you're drinking it, are you thinking of Him? Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, that's the, you know, part that claims everything. Whatever you do, do all to His glory. Consumed. Okay, trust in the Word. We're drawing to a close here. Trust in the Word. Psalm 119:42 says, "Then shall I have an answer for him who taunts me, for I trust in your Word." There's nothing else that is really trustworthy, not even your own heart. So when the world tells you, well, follow your heart, be happy, you say, liar, I'm going to follow God's Word because I want to please Him. He is trustworthy. So trust in the Word. Nothing else but the Word of God. Also, there's hope in the Word. Psalm 119:43 says, "And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for my hope is in your rules." There is nothing stronger than giving someone hope in a marriage. If you've ever gone through really tough times, just a little bit of hope goes a long way. If you've ever been in a situation to where you've grown up and you've gone through some tough times, maybe one of your parents, you grew up in a divorced home, and you have this split, dad's no longer around, and it's just your mom, there's little glimmers of hope that you're always reaching out for to hold on to and to help you through. When you come to a place of desperation, of despondency, of completely losing hope, that is when, unfortunately, people take their lives. Because they don't have any hope whatsoever. So any little bit of hope is worth holding on to. But listen to this. The hope that God gives us is sure, and it's eternal. And it's immovable. These are His promises to us, and we can hold on to them. We can walk in those words of hope. Honor the Word. Psalm 119:48. "I will lift up my hands toward your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes." I will lift up my hands, again, just as Robbie had said, our posture before the King either honors or dishonors Him. We are to honor the Word. A story that Bettina was telling me about Ann Graham Lotz and how she would see her mother and father treat the Word of God just with reverence, right? This is the Word. The words here between my little notations is everything. Do you guys love the smell of your Bible, or is it just me too? I'm serious. I can open up my Bible and I'm like, oh. I don't know if it's just maybe in my mind or whatever, but it's like, it's your very Word. Wow, this is awesome. Taste and see how good the Lord is. And I smell it too. It's how you handle the Word in your life. How it's expressed. Again, Billy and Ruth Graham, the way they would handle the Word of God was just beautiful. To Anne, that was beautiful, their daughter, and she saw that. Value the Word, which goes hand in hand. Psalm 119:72 says, "The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces." I can tell you, without flinching, that if someone were to say, I have $1 million, and I have the Word of God here. Which one do you want? Choose now, but whatever your choice is, that's it. It's final. Without flinching, I'd grab the Word. I would grab the Word and go, you can keep your money. That's not going into heaven. I would rather have, because it's that valuable to me, the Word of God. I'll take that over anything. Anything. Let me close with this. If you take these words to heart and you will learn the Word, then you can live the Word and then begin to love it and long for it, and you will see and taste how good the Lord is. That's a Word. Learn, live, and love it to God's glory. Now the two propositions. Okay? Only those who believe obey, and only those who obey believe. Okay? If we take the first portion of the first proposition, only those who believe obey, then it's cheap grace. Okay? Because we could sit down and twiddle our thumbs and say, well, I don't believe enough. I don't believe. I don't have the faith, and therefore I will not obey. For those who say, well, I have a difficult time believing. I don't get it. I just don't grasp the Word. Then what happens with people is you start thinking about that thing called predestination. Right? Only a certain number of people are called. Then you start getting all twisted and you're dogmatic about that. Cheap grace. So if you're sitting around and waiting for belief to hit you over the head for you to obey, then it's cheap grace. It doesn't cost you anything. Okay? Take the second part. Only those who obey believe. Okay. So, in your obedience, you can learn and be given the gift of faith and belief. Because nothing in and of yourself can give you faith. That's a gift too. But it's in your obedience, in your exercising of obedience, that God will meet you right there and give you that faith that you so desire. Let me give you a couple examples. Peter. He could not affect in himself salvation, right? We don't have that capacity. But he could step out of the boat. He was called by Jesus. He couldn't be sanctified or be washed or be given new life. He couldn't do that to himself, but he could drop his net and go and follow Jesus. Levi. He couldn't save himself, that's for sure. But he could forsake all and follow Jesus Christ. It's there where God meets us and he says, it's costing you everything. That's where cheap grace gets thrown out, okay? Well, I'm not going to obey because I don't believe. No, no. You've been called to get out of the boat. You've been called to drop your net. You've been called to follow the Word of God and be obedient, simply obedient. That's all that's in your capacity, the will to choose to be obedient. And God will meet you right there. This morning you may be feeling like, Lord, your Word is amazing. I love these statutes and precepts and laws and rules and commandments. I understand them a little bit more now. I understand that you're calling me to change some things in my life. But I just don't believe. I just haven't gotten to that point of just like feeling something within me. Listen, salvation doesn't come through a feeling or some kind of amazing experience. It just comes with a decision to follow Christ. Can you drop your net? Can you step out of the boat and walk towards Jesus? Can you forsake all for His sake and for His name? You can do that, right? I'm not asking you if you have faith. I'm asking you if you will simply obey. Will you do that this morning? I pray that God reveals to you whatever it is that you're not obedient in. I hope you understand that these words that were spoken were all to your benefit and His glory. And I hope you understand and come to a point to where if you simply continue to learn in obedience, to live in obedience, that you will grow in your love for the very Word of God in the person of Jesus Christ. So this morning, here's what I'm going to do. If God's calling you, I'm going to ask the elders to come up here to the front and be available for prayer. If God's calling you out of something towards Him to drop, to forsake, then let us agree with you. Come to the front, whether it be salvation, whether it be simple obedience, whether it be strength, whether it be something health-wise, whatever it is, drop it. Remember, you take your problems a lot more seriously than God does. He's interested in you, not your problems as much as you are. Okay? Come and be a part of what God is doing and surrender to Him. Be obedient to Him. Amen? So, Robbie, come on up. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. I pray, Lord, that we are an obedient people, no matter what we feel like, no matter what our emotions are, no matter what the problems are that we are facing currently, presently, right this day. Lord, I pray that we are a people that praises You through our journeys, knowing that we are pilgrims, Father, that are only here for a short period of time. May we not be distracted by the things of the world. May we not even be distracted by ourselves. I pray, Lord, that we are focused, completely consumed by You, Jesus. We desire You more than anything in this world. That we value You more and higher than anything or anyone. And that we make no excuses for forsaking all to follow You. I pray, Lord, that You would just continue to bless this church. Lord, at souls as You well please. Grow souls in the spirits of Your people according to Your law, according to Your precepts, Your rules, Your regulations, Lord, everything, Father. May we be a people that glorifies You. I just ask that for a blessing upon these people here, Lord, Your people. I ask that You would continue to guide them and direct them, shed light on their path. May they grow in their desire for You, and may You anoint them with Your Spirit in strength and power. In Jesus' name, amen.